Good morning, everybody, and thank you very much to Boston University for putting this forum together. Each fall semester, I co-teach a class called Archives, History, and Collective Memory, in which the class explores the interrelationships and synergies between these three different knowledge areas. Right now, it's early in the semester, and we are still at the definition stage, trying to reach common understandings of collective memory, history, and archives. Even though my 34 students are all advanced archives concentrators, they nonetheless focused on redefining the archives in ways that reflect their own thinking and their own social perspectives. Here are some of their responses to recent readings on archives and archival institutions. One student writes, "What struck me about the readings in particular was this conflict between the authenticity of community archives and the distrust of big institutions to preserve that narrative." Another writes, "The emergence of independent community archives serves to challenge the professional or traditional conceptions of what constitutes an archive. More importantly, however, these independent archives seek to have a stake in the historical and political making processes of society." From the other side of the desk, it seems clear that this new upcoming generation of archivists have definite, if somewhat idealistic, ideas of what should constitute an archives. Ideas that vary notably from traditional notions of archives. Community archives and independent archives have been around for a long time, but over the past decades, they have gained new meanings and significance. This short presentation today is about the emergence of community archives as potent social constructs that archivists and other information workers need to pay attention to. While students may see a conflict between community and institutional archives, this is not really a binary relationship. Rather, community archives offer one important way forward within this particular conference theme, libraries and archives in the digital age. And so what exactly are community archives? So this morning, just briefly, I'm going to be touching on these issues. What's a community? What's a community archives? And what's radical about community archives? How can they impact traditional archives? And I'll end with a few examples. So what is a community? So to understand community archives, one first must really understand community. And so defining a community may be the first and perhaps most complex step in considering community archives. Interacting with a community requires understanding its major characteristics, its reason for being, its identity, and its place within the larger society. And these, of course, may all be many and diverse. We tend to think of communities as groups of individuals united around commonalities. And these commonalities could be, as you see, a place or a locality, some kind of shared geography, a common interest or a lifestyle or a belief, some kind of shared characteristics, and I've given a few examples. A common purpose, perhaps a shared event, a purpose or a mission. Of course, all these communities may overlap. Each of us, I am sure, belong to many different communities that fit into one or all of the categories below. In addition, a community can also be relational and longitudinal, or a group of people who form relationships over time, interacting regularly around shared experiences which are interesting to all of them. A community can be some kind of site of communion, a shared sense of attachment to a place or a group or an idea. And in some ways, this might come about because of an event, that all of us may share. It could be a wonderful event or could be a natural disaster, for example, such as a hurricane. And of course, communities are often virtual, imagined and online, but similarly sharing those same characteristics of communion, interest, relationship, and sometimes of place. Community is often thought of as a network or local social system, but just because people live in the same location does not necessarily mean that they will interact with one another. It's the relationships between people and their networks that is often seen as one of the most significant aspects of community. And we see the concept of community play out in virtual environments every day through social media networks such as Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, etc. Networks designed specifically and very successfully to create community. So what does community itself create? We associate community with a number of different kinds of values and actions. So they may create identity, a sense of self for all the members of the group. They may foster and promote a sense of collective memory and heritage. They may act as vehicles of communication and advocacy for the group. And they may offer a social structure and a framework. They often imply deeply held values such as fellowship, trust, commitment, and they also define boundaries. Shared commonalities distinguish members of a group in significant ways from the members of other groups. Community implies similarities, but also differences. If some people are inside, then others are outside. And so, to some extent, community also involves exclusion and possibly elitism. So many different aspects. Okay, so what exactly is a community archives? Although the term community archives entered the archival vocabulary several decades ago, its definitions remain vague and ambiguous. A community archives usually refers to materials generated by not-for-profit and non-governmental entities by a particular group or community sharing common interests, whether origins, geography, ethnicities, lifestyles, or other factors. Community archives are often independent, bottom-up, grassroots organizations primarily run by volunteers. Archival educator Andrew Flynn, founding member of the UK Community Archives website, notes that the defining characteristic of a community archives is the active participation of the community in documenting and making accessible the history of their particular group and or locality on their own terms. And I might add this, that one of the other defining characteristics is a strong social justice mission. However, different regions and countries using the term community archives assign it significantly different meanings. Although in the United Kingdom, for example, a community archives has been generally defined as that grassroots, bottom-up movement where the community creates its own very local archives. In New Zealand and in Canada, community archives are advised and sometimes established by the National Archives. And so the government helps to create the archive with and for the community and works with the community. If, as it appears, understandings of community archives may be region-specific, then what constitutes a community archive in an American context? Several years ago, in a seminar on community archives, my students were asked to identify a community archives and become involved with it. The experiences of my students, though limited by geography and numbers, suggest that in the United States, the term community archives embraces a more inclusive vision and consequently is more difficult to define. A community archives in the United States may well be grassroots as well as elitist, historical as well as contemporary, topical as well as general, public as well as private, and importantly, as much concerned with preserving historical values, personal and group identity, and collective memories as with social issues. Community archives then in the United States are found in many different kinds of groups, civic groups, organizations around shared interests, historical societies, even municipal offices. In fact, all of the categories as referred to above. So what might be in a community archives? Community archives are not restricted to what we traditionally think of as records, paper or digital. Perhaps they are whatever the community values as a record, because the context of creation may be thought of as the community itself. And this might include a wide variety of materials. One of the reasons why community archives have proliferated and are so successful in our digital age is because much of the material collected and held by community archives can be accessed digitally by the entire community, no matter how dispersed, through their websites. And so you can see that there is a long list of items, and I'm sure we could come up with other items and collections of materials as well. So what are some of the characteristics of community archives? And I've pretty much mentioned most of them, but I will just kind of briefly go over them again. Again, the quotation by Flynn of a grassroots organization determining what will be in the archives on their own terms. It's primarily run by volunteers, and often there is a scene of sites of resistance and social justice. So they tend, as I said, they tend to be grassroots, run by volunteers, committed to social justice. On the one hand, the materials in the archive might also be considered artificial collections because they are brought together from many sources and not through one particular creator or person who collected the materials. And on the other hand, the community itself, in a way, can be considered the creator. And this, again, brings us into some archival terms of thinking about context and some traditional concepts of how records are brought together. And so the community archives really represents a quite a different direction in thinking about who creates the record and how records should be kept. Again, there's a very strong digital presence, and it's really because of this digital presence that community archives have become so successful. They live primarily on the web because accessibility to these archives for the community is primary. So these may not, so what is radical, or what would I consider to be radical, and perhaps you would too, about community archives? Although I will say that I don't think my students would think of them as radical anymore. They would think of them as, this is how it should be. So records then are created, collected, and kept and defined by the community itself. The community defines the records. And the community as a whole, not the community necessarily as individuals, although individuals bring their records. It focuses on marginalized groups and groups that are underrepresented in the traditional archives. Because many groups feel they've been excluded from traditional archives, and this is the way they can get their material out there, but not just that. This is the way they can bring their people together. This is the way they can help preserve and continue their memories. And this is, so in other words, a community archives is also a huge support network for many different groups of people who feel perhaps that they have no other place to go for support. It's driven then by the need for equality, for social recognition, and to some extent for inclusion with and recognition within the wider society. What else is radical? Community archives are, as I've mentioned, often seen as sites of social justice. So just the act of bringing archives together and keeping records and affirming your identity becomes a form of political activity that, quote, challenges the invisibility of particular groups and the institutions that perpetuate this underrepresentation. So it's about the recognition of many voices that are often underrepresented within traditional archival holdings. Another radical aspect is that of the empowerment and advocacy that groups and people feel through documenting themselves. And suddenly, that documentation of themselves becomes important, is recognized by others, and helps them and empowers those people who themselves. And so there's a strong role in asserting identity and memory. An interesting aspect, and that really speaks to this conference in a sense, is that community archives don't really acknowledge the traditional distinctions between libraries, museums, archives, but rather everything is brought together. Everything belongs in the community archives. And I think this really speaks to the trend, to sort of societal trends generally, where people less and less, I hope, think of all of these different divisions and think of it all instead as cultural heritage. So what might be some of the potential societal impact of community archives? How might community archives change our understanding of archives? Because I would suggest that to some extent, archivists tend to be traditional, tend to hew to some of our traditional theories, and you interpret them in rather traditional ways. But at the same time, there's a lot of movement to go forward, to come up with new thoughts, new ideas, new interpretations, new conceptualizations of what we are and what we do. So some of the potential, I've listed a few ways up here, accessing a wide diversity of information, pushing archives themselves into becoming activists and social and advocates for social justice, a new emphasis on records that promotes the values and identities of marginalized groups, and that complement the more official master narratives of traditional archives. So all these narratives can live together. They all belong together because they're all part of our society. I think that community archives also position archives as welcoming and open spaces. Traditional archives are often a little formidable, and so perhaps this is a place that community archives can sort of offer examples to more traditional archives. And of course, the other impact is to break down these binaries, where you don't have community and traditional and marginalized and master narratives, but perhaps it all comes together into one large societal narrative. So, a few examples. The United Kingdom has been at the forefront of developing a nationwide community archives and heritage site. It's a very wonderful website, and I recommend it to all of you. It was initially funded by a government grant, and it enables non-archivists and archivists to post and create their own archives. So if you are living in a little town in Wales, and perhaps you have a small historical society, or perhaps, you know, let's say it's a fishing village, a fisherman's cooperative, but you have records and photographs of your group and of what you do, you can host this as an, you can create your own community archives. So this site offers help, it offers advice, it assists with setting standards, and a lot of do-it-your-own instructions. It's involved with networking and cross-learning between activists and archivists, and importantly, it links to the National Archives of the United Kingdom, so that these resources and this information that otherwise would not be available to anybody except people living in that small group is suddenly available and accessible nationwide. So this is their website. This is just a screenshot, but I strongly suggest you look at it. One of the really cute and clever things they have done is that they have this enlarged. You would see lots and lots of little dots, but they have mapped community archives throughout the United Kingdom, and so you can click on them from anywhere you want, and you will see what is going on, what is the archives, what's the historical society in that small town. So I think it's really an excellent model. I mean, I realize that the UK is a lot smaller than the US, might be more difficult to do here, but I could see something like this on a regional basis would be really a wonderful boon for everybody, for people interested in cultural heritage and in archives. So I'd just like to end with three community examples of three community archives in Boston. All of them are independent. In all of them, the records are created and managed by the communities themselves. There's a little bit of archival intervention, but in a sense, it exists only within the community. And all of them have a strong digital presence. So my first example is, in a sense, a community of place, the West End Museum. Those of you who are from Boston, I may be very familiar with either the West End Museum or the West End of Boston. In the 1950s, the neighborhood of the West End was displaced by an urban renewal project that really reshaped that end of Boston, and that is where the government center is today. At the time and today, it's still extremely controversial. People were extremely upset about being moved. Even though the neighborhood was not exactly a high-end neighborhood, it was a little poor, but people lived there and were happy there and had lives there and identified there over many generations. So the West End Museum celebrates, there is an actual location, but most of its activities are carried out digitally. There's records, photographs, all kinds of things on this site. And they really celebrate that neighborhood that used to be at the West End. And they celebrate the memories of that original neighborhood, and they are a very active group. So the second example, a site of social justice, also in Boston, is the History Project. And this is an LGBTQ community archives established in 1980. It's run by volunteers. It's extremely successful, as you can imagine, if it's been going since 1980. They have the website, they have activities, they have a huge archive, and actually, even though it's not what you would call professional, we send students there to do internships as well. Their mission is to preserving the documentary record of the LGBTQ community's social and historical contributions. So my third example is Project SAVE. This is a cultural heritage community, and it exists entirely online. It's a site of it's a photographic site celebrating the Armenian community. It's based in Watertown, but that is just the office of the person who created this archive and continues to run and to manage it. Its mission is to collect, document, preserve, and present the historic and modern photographic record of Armenians and Armenian heritage. And this has also been in existence for several decades. So why are we doing this? What's important about community archives and preserving community memory? I would say that fostering community memory means recognizing that the records may be oral and artifactual as well as textual, and that all forms of records should be and can be accommodated in the archives. Recognizing the community's need to write its own history, know its own roots, and foster its own traditions. Providing the documentation for both the master and the minor narratives of communities. And finally, understanding that records in all forms are a part of the patrimony of a state, a nation, and a community. Thank you very much.